from the perspective of the fish. How many of you fish? We have a few. Okay. How does the fish respond when you've hooked it and are starting to pull it in? Yeah. They fight back. They don't like it at all, do they? They struggle. Why is that? And part of it is because everything they know that makes up their life, that sustains them, is in the water, and here you are pulling them out of everything that has to do with life. From now on, you will be catching men, and guess how they will respond at first? And the reason for that is because we come along with a message that is a spiritual message that tells the people in this world everything that you know, everything that you associate with life and your sustenance, and everything that preserves you day to day. All of that, give it up and in your hearts turn away from it, because there is something else completely, and that is a spiritual thing that we are bringing to you, and that is the Word of God that calls you out of this world, out of this life. Oh, and by the way, you're going to lose it all anyway. The final equalizer is death. So you're going to lose it all anyway, but we're bringing to you a word of a different kind of life. And we go out and we tell this to people, many of them who don't even know or believe that there is such a thing as a soul, who question the existence of God, of heaven, of an afterlife. And we're telling them to let go of everything that they have held on to all of their lives. How's that going to go? John talks about it like this. The Apostle John, his first letter, chapter 2, verse 16. Everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the desires of the eyes, and the boastful pride of everything he has and does, is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away along with its desires. So, preach you the word and plant it home to men who like or like it not. Wow. Let's go another step deeper. You realize this is our experience too? I had a friend, a pastor friend, wonderful Christian man, absolutely. Except that one time he said, you know, when I get old and it's time for me to go, if the doctor gives me a diagnosis of cancer and it's terminal, that's okay, I'll just say, who needs the treatments, and I'll be ready to go. Well, guess what happened? He got a diagnosis of cancer. Guess what he didn't say? Because we look around us and we see the stuff of our lives bound up in the stuff of this world. Air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink, a roof over your head. And the last few weeks, a nice toasty furnace that keeps you warm. Savings set aside so that you can have meals next week, next month, next year. That's the stuff of this world. And it sticks to our soul, and our soul sticks to it. And it's very hard when the time comes for that to be peeled away from us. And we feel it. And so it is from the perspective of the fish. Fear not, you will be catching men. Okay. And Peter and the other disciples go out and they start preaching the gospel. And then the reaction comes. And it's from all sides because we don't want to let go of the stuff of this world. And we don't want to truly set our hearts on what is something else. Even though, see, we're coming along and we're saying, with all of this stuff that's going to be lost and gone, we give you the one thing that will endure, the one thing that lasts through all eternity, and that is the connection with God who is eternal, the connection with God who gives life, the connection with God who came into this world in the person of Jesus and took your sins on him and faced the loss of everything and faced death and defeated it and took your sins and removed them and brought them to the cross so that you set free from the stuff of this world, which includes the sinful desires for the things in this world, so that you could be part of the family of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and live through all eternity. And this is what we're bringing. But you can't see it right now. And so the world responds. For the Christian, we've learned differently. We learned that in spite of the first reactions of, well, this means giving up everything. No, it isn't. It's coming into everything, being given all of God's riches. Little comparison, just. So a baby is being baptized, and before the baptism, struggles and whines and fusses, and the water hits the head, and then there's fussing some more, and then they settle down. And pastor after pastor has preached in this pattern that it's the old sinful Adam not wanting to let go and the baby being brought kicking and screaming into eternal life. Or preaches this way, there's death in this water. And there's rising from the dead in this water. And we fear those things. Our old sinful nature fears them. But we've learned differently. We learned that we didn't die. Instead, we are brought into life. We learned that we are transformed. And what was our natural place of living isn't anymore. We lived in sin and in unbelief, and now we live in faith, and we are robed with the righteousness of Christ. And third, we become then fishers of men. Because everybody brought into this new reality that Jesus brings along, this new reality of eternal life, is then sent out to connect with somebody else who doesn't know it yet and bring them into eternal life. So, Jesus says to Peter, and so he says to you and to me, he says, fear not. From now on, you will fish for men. Okay? Fear not. In one sense, Peter should be afraid. In one sense. The reason why is, he's not ready. He's not equipped. He is not equal to the task. When you take on a task, when you get a job, you want to go in saying, I am able to do this. But Peter, he knew right then that he was not able to do this thing that Jesus was sending him to do. And frankly, that has been the experience of every preacher that is worth anything from the time of Peter down to this day. We are not equal to it. We are not able to do this thing that Jesus has sent us to do. And we know it deep down inside. That's why when a pastor is ordained or installed, very often you look at the young pastors being installed and you watch their knees. You know what they're doing? They're shaking. And the first sermon that comes along as a pastor, the mouth is dry, the butterflies are going. Am I going to do this in a worthwhile manner? And we're afraid standing up in front of people to do this thing called preaching and giving forgiveness of sins. But Peter and the other disciples learned. They followed Jesus for 3 years and watched as he preached the gospel, healed the sick, raised the dead, told of the kingdom of God. And then at the end, all that Jesus told them to go out and do was go and say what you've seen and what you've heard. That's all we do. We tell about Jesus. We tell about Jesus who has done all of these things for us. And so they would walk with Jesus, and they would be transformed by Jesus into being fishers of men. So Peter's response to the call, really great response. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Yeah, got that right. Did you hear Isaiah's response in the Old Testament lesson? I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Do you remember Moses' response? I don't speak well. But God put words into Moses' mouth and sent him. And an angel took a live coal from the altar. A live coal. What's the coal made of? Wood. Which is a reminder of the cross. From the altar. What's the altar remind us of? The sacrifice of the cross. And the angel takes the live coal and puts it on Isaiah's lips. Now you've got the cross on your lips. That's enough. And Jesus takes Peter and changes him into something else in the hands of God. And at the end of Matthew, Jesus says to all of the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Notice how that works. Notice what he doesn't say. You have now reached the day of your graduation, and I'm going to give you your certificate that shows that you are entirely, completely equipped to go and do the job that you've been trained to do. He doesn't say that. They're still unequal to the task. And it's not their ability, and it's not their cleverness, and it is not their efforts. It is because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has the authority. And the disciples discover as they go out, they discover that somehow this Jesus is still working, and he's the one making it happen. And that's our experience as well. This has been lived out in the church ever since. Those that come along who we look at and we say, these are remarkable lives and these are people doing amazing things. If you ask them, what would they say? Well, like Martin Luther. All I did was preach the gospel and drink good Wittenberg beer. One of the great preachers in China over the last decades, a fellow named Wang Mingdao, goes on and on telling of his weaknesses and his failings. And we as a church, what's our history? We fail. We fail constantly, and then we discover that this friend of ours, Jesus, he's doing things through us somehow. And there are times we can't figure out how he's doing it. But he's doing it. He's speaking his gospel, telling of the forgiveness of sins, and souls are coming to Jesus Christ. And we're looking around and saying, how'd that happen? We're not that good. I've started to say, we're not that good, but we have a friend who is, who tells of the forgiveness of sins through his cross, who tells sinners that all of this stuff they were holding on to, he has the eternal things, eternal life, eternal holiness, eternal connection with God. And he gives that to us sinners. Oh, by the way, that kind of destroys all of our excuses of I'm not ready and I don't know how, doesn't it? Because you don't have to be ready and you don't have to know how. But Jesus, he works through his people. In Jesus' name, amen.